Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley Antine speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, the 4th of November, and ending on Sunday, the 10th of November. And during this week, we are moving from the first quarter phase coming out of that Scorpio new moon that we had on the 1st of November. We're going to shift on Friday, the 8th, into the second quarter phase, the growing, waxing towards full moon. However, we do not have a change of signs that I have been able to see anyway this week for any of the planets. A change of direction isn't happening. But boy, next week there is. Venus will enter Capricorn and Saturn will go direct on the 15th. Which is also the day of the full moon in Taurus. So, yeah, that's when the big action is going to take place. The week after this, except in the United States, where there's some big action taking place on Tuesday. So let's see what the flow of energy looks like. Mercury, as we know, is in direct motion. So we shouldn't have too many snafus. And it is in the sign of Sagittarius, which is a sign that seeks truth and expansion of philosophy and understanding. So, you know, it's been worse. And so Monday, we come in with the sun in Scorpio in trine to retrograde, or actually it's almost like stationary Saturn, in Pisces until 12:35 p.m., while the moon in Sag is going into an opposition to retrograde Jupiter in Gemini, 3:32 p.m. So expect a lot of news, a lot of commentary, a lot of everything, no matter where you are. And some issues will be being spoken about also, about people who feel victimized by those in power, or, you know, the financial circumstances of life. That's the sun in Scorpio. But by 3:32 p.m., some of this is over with the moon, for sure. And the moon is now going on to join Venus in Sagittarius until 6:51 p.m. So we can feel very, optimism is a small word. I mean, it's not small when you write it out, but there's a lot of feelings that can go into this, a lot of desires, and a lot of need for things to work out in a positive, healing, and hopeful way. That's the Venus with the moon and in the sign of Sagittarius. But after 6:51 p.m. and until 5:23 a.m., which is before the polls open, this is all Eastern Standard Time, moon is square Neptune. So there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of over-idealizing. There's a lot of confusion, illusion. And, you know, this is something to understand, and I would say personally, don't surrender to it. Stay positive, but don't go overboard. And be aware that if you are traveling, and particularly international travel, there are difficulties the closer you get to the Neptune square to a moon in Sagittarius. It could be weather or other things that are confused. So just be aware of that. And don't believe everything you hear from about 7 o'clock on Monday evening, you know, till 5:30 in the morning on Election Day. You know, they love to be negative on a lot of the news shows because, you know, it's like reporting the weather, you know. They're happier when people are worried about the weather because they keep tuning in. So, you know, maybe just do something to entertain yourself because a lot of people have a lot of feelings about what's going to happen on Tuesday and even what's going to happen after. And it's not that they're not justified, but I am of the opinion, you know me by now, that holding the highest vision and the positive way is more conducive in terms of frequency than holding fear is. I mean, that is weakening, right? So I would suggest that, if you can manage it, there will be a void of course moon at the early outset of voting in the United States on Tuesday the 5th. And the moon will enter Capricorn at 10:17 a.m. Now, it's a good sign for the moon to be in for a very important government function that's taking place. We have the moon sextile, the ruler of Capricorn, and it's Saturn, and it's a sextile to Saturn and Pisces until 10:17 a.m. Now, what I want to say about that aspect is, in general, we could look at this and say the government is offering a helpful opportunity, that's a sextile, to those who feel like they need help, those who are afraid, and those who feel like they're being victims in certain ways. They feel weak. They feel like things are dissolving around them. And someone, and it's a moon, so that's like a woman, is trying to help, offer a helpful opportunity. Well, on both sides, people are afraid of what's happening. You know, there's been absolute change every minute since 2012. You know it. I mean, I went on Zoom and I was going to stop a recording, and they have changed the method. You know, I mean, every time you go anywhere, something's different. And it's hard for people. People like to feel like they've got the structure down. They know it. That's why tradition is so big. You know, we do it this way. We do it this way. You don't have to think. You know, you just go along with the plan. But the plans keep changing too, don't they? And so it hits both sides, and fear is on both sides. So it's hard to say exactly, except that this is the focal energy for the election once we have the moon in Capricorn. On Wednesday, the moon in Capricorn is sextile the sun in Scorpio. Okay, so we want things managed, and we want them managed properly. And that is until 2:11 p.m. This moon in Capricorn is going to trine Uranus and Taurus. And that's going to go all the way until Thursday at 10:01 a.m. Right? So there's some shifting and changing about values and finance. There's an easy flow of understanding about it. And the moon will sextile Neptune on Thursday at 1:12 p.m. And we will have a kind of a feeling, sensing, knowing about what we need to do. And then we have the moon in Capricorn going conjunction Pluto in Capricorn at 5:38 p.m. And this is another last time for Pluto in Capricorn to receive an aspect like this from the moon. We've been talking about it for 16 years now, and it's like, okay, we get it. You get very obsessed. And, you know, people in power get very obsessed. And yet, if you're working on mutual project with the same values and the same goals, this is a powerful energy that can get things to happen. All right? So, things are moving, and things haven't hit a wall yet that I can see. There is a glitch, perhaps, when the moon in Capricorn squares Chiron in Aries, and that is coming between the sextile to the moon in Scorpio and the trine to Uranus in Taurus. It comes in just after midnight on Thursday morning. So somebody is feeling the restraint and not liking it very much. We have the first opportunity for something volatile to show up after the moon enters Aquarius at 5:58 p.m., and that is when it makes the opposition to Mars in Leo. 8:15 p.m. is when that is exact. We know in the United States that there is a potential for acts to take place. So that's why I'm mentioning that in that way. One astrologer who was posting on Facebook last week was saying, you know, when Pluto's in Aquarius and it's going to start squaring the zero Pluto in Aquarius generation. I'm sorry, I said squaring, didn't I? Boy. It is opposing, like it's opposing this Mars at 8:15 on Thursday. So get a feeling, if you remember this, you know, from about 6 o'clock to around 8:30 on Thursday evening Eastern time, there's some kind of a conflict brewing. People who want to be in power and people who want freedom. This is kind of that kind of energy, and that will be the kind of energy that the opposition in the charts of those born with that 0 degrees of Aquarius. It'll go up to about 3 degrees. People in the early stage of the Pluto energy. You know, this was something that, you know, the energy of Pluto in Leo took us into the generation that brought about, you know, the hippie movement and the, you know, government questioning and war questioning. This was the transformation in the sense of power. And so the Aquarius energy is now opposing it. And that is either going to make the power feel as though they need to change and really do a lot of change. We'll have to find out. But take a look at what this feels like in this moment of the moon in Aquarius opposing Mars in Leo, and see, just see. But I'll tell you, moon in Aquarius is women, for one thing, as a moon, that want freedom and that are unusual people in general. And you are looking at the Mars is the male energy that wants to be the king. Okay, and something interesting is, you know, when I was doing the eclipse, I did those lectures for Asheville Friends of Astrology. Well, I was looking at the charts for the Republican National Conference and also for the Democratic National Conference. And the Democratic chart, in the birth chart of that organization, there is a moon in Aquarius, conjunct Uranus in Aquarius, the ruler of Aquarius. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's inevitable, and it is getting a retrograde Jupiter trine during this election week. It is really a big deal. We know it's a big deal, and we're going to see how much of a big deal it is in these days after, and we're going to see the opposition to it with the Mars in Leo. Now, we have somebody who's famous and has been running for office here And Leo is the rising sign and Mars is on the ascendant. So it could be quite a literal interpretation in the outer world. But if you're just looking at life and not looking at politics or anything like that, these aspects are also affecting you. So if you happen to be out and about or something like that, you may find that there are some conflict energies around, and I just want you to know. We see the 0 degrees of Leo generation show up in 1937, and, you know, it goes back into Cancer for a little bit in 1938, goes back into the zero Leo in August of 38. Most of the generation that we call the Great Generation was born with the Pluto in Cancer, and so much transformation took place then with a world war that involved not just Europe, but the East, right? So this was what was happening. People keep talking about we're doing the same thing again. No, we're not. We're not doing that again. We have people who have Pluto in Leo in more prominent places now, because 1940 is when it sticks, all right? And I hate to tell you how old our generation is, but I have to face it every now and then. So Pluto in Cancer won't be around, you know? And that's why I say all the time, there's never an exact repetition of anything. If you're worried about it, understand that we are in evolution. And when Pluto does go in, and I'm going to be doing webinars on these things. The first one will be the Pluto in Aquarius, and I'll be doing that in mid-November. I'll share details when I have them. You're going into right now the last gasp of Capricorn Pluto. And we had a paradigm shift right after the beginning of January in 2020. And the paradigm shift was very serious. Hadn't happened since the middle of the 1500s, when a king in England and a man in Germany successfully halted the power of the Roman Church. It was a big deal. It didn't happen right away that everything changed, except for the king, because he was the king. So in his particular realm, he was able to control things. And he started, you know, tearing down cathedrals and monasteries and everything. It was definitely a financial move, but this was a successful, but the Roman Pope wasn't going to sit down and just say, okay. And as you may have heard me say before, Elizabeth I was on the throne until the early 1600s, and she was still getting assassination attempts by people who wanted to return a Catholic king to the throne, right? So we had a paradigm shift in Capricorn that is now about hierarchy and patriarchy. That's big. It's as big as the Catholic Church was at the time of the last conjunction. All right, so is it going to happen overnight? No. It's not happening overnight. We're already 4 years in. We're going on 5 years in now as we come to the next 2025. All right? But we're making some headway. But what we are seeing in the world with people who want this absolute power and are, you know, not exactly elevating the divine feminine, this is the Capricorn Pluto getting ready to not be here. They won't have that to be the structure. So what will happen when Pluto goes into Aquarius? We won't know the ramifications completely right at the beginning, but it is a game changer, without a doubt. All right, so we'll look at see what change as time moves on now, because, you know, there are two ways to interpret Pluto is power. It is also sometimes, you know, things from underground. It's the, you know, ruler of the underworld, right? It, Pluto and Hades were the gods of that realm. So we had that realm in our governments and corporations, and, you know, they're not going to be easily departing. But we are looking at, you know, also power in Aquarius being either the power goes to the people and the freedom and the individual rights and all of that stuff. That is the evolutionary direction in the age of Aquarius. Or it can be trying to assert power over groups and over the people. So we'll see. I mean, we can't, as astrologers, always predict exactly what it's going to look like. I look at the principles, and I know that's what we're going to be looking at, how that works out, and that eventually the paradigm shift of the mid-1500s was a success, and you did have people reading books in their own language that were religious texts, which didn't happen before then, because, you know, there were the they would go into their church and it was all in Latin. They just had to allow themselves to follow something. They didn't even hear the words. So this eventually was a success. And I feel that evolution is the success that always happens. But, you know, this is what's going on now. So you know it. After the opposition to Mars, in fact, the moon in Aquarius goes on to a helpful sextile to Mercury in Sagittarius. Mercury in Sagittarius gets a bad rap, but that's when the mind is seeking to expand consciousness and seeking truth. While Mercury is in Sagittarius, it's also in mutual reception to Jupiter in Gemini. So there's a lot of people wanting accurate information and wanting to move into new thought. So this is an aspect, moon in Aquarius, sextile, Mercury in Sagittarius, until 7:52 a.m. on Friday the 8th, which may be the time when something is agreed upon or the truth is told. And on Friday, we move into the second quarter. Well, actually, we're moving toward it. Moon in Aquarius is moving toward a square to the sun in Scorpio. So you can now you can look at the principles and look at a moon as a woman in this unusual woman squaring the sun or an authority who's a Scorpio. You know, that's somebody who, again, wants to maintain power, and a moon that's asking for change and freedom. So we're looking at this, and it's also within us. The moon being our instinctive feelings and emotional response immediately to the environment. We're not thinking about it. We know we want this, and we know we want to see this Aquarius energy. The sun is conscious, and it is in a sign that deals with shared resources and money of loans and banks and, you know, all of that kind of corporate energy, money from inheritance, money from taxes, and things about insurance, all right? So this is being squared by a moon in Aquarius. We'll see what happens, but we go into the waxing second quarter where we start nurturing our goals. Now, we're at the end of a solar cycle, right? We are not far from a new year, and the new year, we're not far from the greatest darkness at the midwinter solstice. So at this time, we should be gathering things not exactly to put forward in motion at this time, but to know what we want to do when the waxing solar light begins. You know, this is how we follow. We follow the waxing moon. This is a waxing moon. We can start looking at resources in this Scorpio time. What do we need, you know, to make something work that we're looking at having a beginning or a continuing in 2025. Okay, 2025 adds up to a 9. So it is the year of completing things also, as opposed to embarking on the new. Now you get your own personal number year, so that can make it a little different for you than if you were a number 9. In a number 9 year, it would be very 9, you know. But this is just something to understand, as we are waxing and we are going to start gathering our tools and things like that. And we will be doing that in the second quarter phase. There is no aspect till that square to the sun completes on Friday until Saturday, 12:55 a.m. if you're in Eastern time, is when it's complete. So, the moon is going to trine retrograde Jupiter in Gemini at 5:12 a.m. on Saturday morning. There may be some nice dreams happening, visioning going on. But until 8:15 a.m., we also want to know that Venus in Sagittarius is square Neptune in Pisces. So, if it's personal life we're looking at, you know, you met somebody Friday night, see if you're seeing them clearly, let's just say. You might be, you might not be. It's artistic time. It's a time when we want to expand, but and even travel with Venus in Sagittarius could be a little bit complex. In the early morning hours, you might be running into fog and things like that on Saturday the 9th. The moon in Aquarius is going to square the ruler Aquarius retrograde in Taurus on Saturday until 3:17 p.m. tonight of November. So we're looking at sudden changes, value differences between what we think we would like the future to look like and somebody else wants things to look like, how we should be spending, how we should be handling our possessions and resources. This is not a good time to have a conversation about that. So just let that energy pass if you can. 3:17 p.m. Eastern, it is over. And you have the opportunity for a very lovely afternoon, interesting, exciting, moon in Aquarius, sextile Venus in Sagittarius until 7:23 p.m. You know, make a plan, and this could be the thing that has problems because, you know, Taurus is about food too, but you could make a plan to have something unusual. You know, if you're going out for dinner, try a Sagittarius foreign cuisine that maybe you like or maybe you haven't tried before. But this is a very nice energy. It's friendly, very friendly. It's a good time to be with people that you know and enjoy. And that's the energy that will take us till 11 p.m. in the void of course for the Aquarius moon. And then at 11, the moon enters Pisces. So the moon in Pisces is going to square Mercury in Sagittarius, not until Sunday the 10th at 5:20 p.m. So we won't really feel that conflict until we get further into Sunday. But, you know, sometimes, I can tell you this from personal experience of being one, sometimes Mercury in Sag wants to get their point across, and they will continue trying. And Mercury in Sagittarius is, you know, a crusader with words. And Pisces moon just isn't there, you know, like literally. It'll look like they're there, but they won't be there. They don't really want to hear it. They want to be able to just float. Like, can we just, like, have a nice, easy, just, you know, it won't be very easy. And here again, it's not a good time for discussions. And Sunday doesn't shape up very well even after that, because the moon is going to join Saturn. And Saturn, again, is, like, stationed in next week's forecast on the 15th. Again, Saturn will go direct. So it's just sort of hanging there. And the moon, Saturn, have you noticed a moon-Saturn conjunction? Did you notice the one last month? It's not a very upbeat, that's putting it mildly. This is when all your energy of pessimism may come out, and, you know, your skepticism and your, you know, all of that. And you just have to move through it. I mean, what I did last time was I put together a Bach flower remedy, you know, that would relieve me, and it did. And I also practiced what I was preaching in my Astral Essence Facebook post for that day, which was, you know, get a diffuser and get some encouraging, like, citrus is really good. And, you know, adding citrus to pine or fir needles, yeah, it gets it into that holiday energy in a way. So grapefruit is actually a wonderful, uplifting citrus. And orange is encouraging. So, you know, you can just surround yourself with fragrances that would be, you know, encouraging you to not stay in the doldrums, as they used to call them. The moon will be going square Jupiter, retrograde in Gemini. That won't take its exact effect until 8:07 a.m. on Monday. Monday in the United States is Veterans Day. It's the 11th day of November, 11/11. And it's Remembrance Day in Canada. So we will be having, you know, a lot of focus on, you know, those who have served, and, you know, that kind of brings a whole different type of energy to things too. But, you know, it's a holiday for some people in both of those countries. So, and when we get to the next week, we will have right away Venus shifting out of Sag into Capricorn on Monday, which is kind of fitting because, again, it's tradition and thinking of the elders also as well. And then we have Saturn going direct at 9:20 a.m. Eastern on Friday the 15th with the full moon at 24 degrees of Taurus. That will come in at 4:28 p.m. on Friday the 15th. So that's going to be a lot to talk about. There'll probably be a separate podcast for the full moon. So that's what I have to tell you. Sorry for the glitches. I always have to make at least one. It's like I gallop sometimes with my moon in Sagittarius and my Mercury in Sagittarius, my moon in Gemini. So it kind of gets ahead of me sometimes. Anyway, I wish you the best this week. I know it's going to be really a lot of stress for all of us in the United States, but not just us, because it seems like this election is very important to a lot of people all over the world. So you be the positive person. You see the best and highest good, and just keep seeing it. And be aware that there could be moments when you could run into difficulties, and be clear about avoiding those. Okay? So, wishing you the best, and I'll say goodbye for now.